Chapter 50 Veins of Gold. Wind blew around Rand as he sat at the top of the world. His weaving of air and fire had melted away the snow around him, exposing a jagged, gray-black tip of rock about 3 paces wide. The peak was like a broken fingernail jutting into the sky, and Rand sat atop it. As far as he could tell, it was the very tip of Dragon Mount, perhaps the highest point in the world. He sat upon his small outcropping, the access key sitting on the rock in front of him. The air was thin here, and he'd had trouble breathing until he'd found a way to weave air so that it compressed slightly around him. Like the weave that warmed him, he wasn't certain how he'd done it. He vaguely remembered Osmodian trying to teach him a similar weave, and Rand hadn't been able to get it right. Now it came naturally. Luz Theron's influence or his own growing familiarity with the One Power. Dragonmount's broken, open mouth lay several hundred feet beneath him to the left. The scents of ash and sulfur were pungent, even at this distance. The maw was black with ash and red from molten rock and blazing fires. He still held to the source. He didn't dare let go. The last time he'd seized it had been the worst he could remember, and he feared that the sickness would overpower him if he tried again. He had been here for hours, and yet he did not feel tired. He stared at the Tirhungriol, thinking. What was he? What was the dragon reborn? A symbol? A sacrifice? A sword meant to destroy? A sheltering hand meant to protect? A puppet playing a part over and over again? He was angry. Angry at the world, angry at the pattern. Angry at the Creator for leaving humans to fight against the Dark One with no direction. What right did any of them have to demand Rand's life of him? Well, Rand had offered that life to them. It had taken him a great while to accept his death, but he had made his peace. Wasn't that enough? Did he have to be in pain until the end? He had thought that if he made himself hard enough, it would take away the pain. If he couldn't feel, then he couldn't hurt. The wounds in his side pulsed in agony. For a time, he'd been able to forget them. But the deaths he had caused rubbed his soul raw. That list starting with Moraine. Everything had begun to go wrong at her death. Before that, he'd still had hope. Before that, he'd never been put in a box. He understood what would be required of him, and he'd changed in the ways he thought needed. Those changes were to keep him from being overwhelmed. Die to protect people he didn't know? Chosen to save mankind? Chosen to force the kingdoms of the world to unite behind him, destroying those who refused to listen? Chosen to cause the deaths of thousands who fought in his name? To hold those souls upon his shoulders, a weight that must be borne? What man could do these things and remain sane? The only way he had seen had been to cut off his emotions, to make himself Quendiyar. But he had failed. He hadn't been able to stamp his feelings out. The voice inside had been so small, but it had pricked at him, like a needle making the smallest of holes in his heart. Even the smallest of holes would let the blood leak free. Those holes would bleed him dry. The quiet voice was gone now. It had vanished when he'd thrown Tam to the floor and nearly killed him. Without that voice, did Rand dare continue? If it was the last remnant of the old Rand, the Rand who had believed that he knew what was right and what was wrong, then what did its silence mean? Rand picked up the access key and stood up, boots scraping stone. It was midday, though the sun still lay hidden behind the clouds. Below he could see hills and forests, lakes and villages.
"And what if I don't want the pattern to continue?" he bellowed.
He stepped forward, right to the edge of the rock, clutching the access key to his chest.
"We live the same lives," he yelled at them. "Over and over and over. We make the same mistakes. Kingdoms do the same stupid things. Rulers fail their people time and time again. Men continue to hurt and hate and die and kill.
Winds buffet him, whipping at his brown cloak and his fine Tyran trousers. But his words carried, echoing across the broken rocks of Dragonmount. It was cold and crisp, the air new. His weave kept him warm enough to survive, but it did not stop the chill. He hadn't wanted it to.
"What if I think it's all meaningless?"
he demanded with the loud voice of a king.
"What if I don't want it to keep turning? We live our lives by the blood of others, and those others become forgotten. What good is it if everything we know will fade? Great deeds or great tragedies? Neither means anything. They will become legends, then those legends will be forgotten. Then it will all start over again."
The access key began to glow in his hands. The clouds above seemed to grow darker. Bran's anger beat in rhythm with his heart, demanding to be set free.
"What if he is right?"
Rand bellowed.
"What if it's better for this all to end? What if the light was a lie all along, and this is all just a punishment? We live again and again, growing feeble, dying, trapped forever. We are to be tortured for all time."
Power flooded into Rand like surging waves filling a new ocean. He came to life, glorying in Sayadin, not caring that the display must be brilliantly visible to men everywhere who could channel. He felt himself alight with the power, like a sun to the world below.
"None of this matters!"
He closed his eyes, drawing in more and more power, feeling as he had only twice before. Once, when he had cleansed Sayadin. Once, when he had created this mountain. Then he drew in more. He knew that much power would destroy him. He had stopped caring. Fury that had been building in him for years finally boiled free, unleashed at long last. He spread his arms out wide, access key in his hand. Luce Theron had been right to kill himself and create Dragonmount. Only he hadn't gone far enough. Rand could remember that day. The smoke, the rumbling, the sharp pains of a healing, bringing him back to lucidity as he lay in a broken palace. But those pains had paled compared with the agony of realization. Agony from seeing the beautiful walls scarred and broken, from seeing the piles of familiar corpses tossed to the floor like discarded rags, from seeing Ilyena a short distance away, her golden hair spread out on the ground around her. He could feel the palace around him shaking from the earth's own sobs. Or was that Dragonmount, throbbing from the immense power he had drawn into himself? He could smell the air thick with blood and soot and death and pain. Or was that just the scent of a dying world spread before him? The winds began to whip at him, spinning, enormous clouds above twisting upon themselves, like ancient leviathans passing in the profound black deep. Luce Theron had made a mistake. He had died, but had left the world alive, wounded, limping forward. He'd let the wheel of time keep turning, rotating, rotting, and bringing him back around again. He could not escape it, not without ending everything. "Why?" Rand whispered to the twisting winds around him. The power coming to him through the access key was greater than he'd held when cleansing Sayadin, perhaps greater than any man had ever held. Great enough to unravel the pattern itself and bring final peace. "Why do we have to do this again?" he whispered. "I have already failed. She is dead by my hand. Why must you make me live it again?" Lightning cracked above, thunder buffeting him. Rand closed his eyes, perched above a drop that plummeted thousands of feet downward in the middle of a tempest of icy wind. Through his eyelids he could sense the blazing light of the access key. The power he held inside dwarfed that light. He was the sun. He was fire. He was life and death. Why? Why must they do this over and over? The world could give him no answers. Rand raised his arms high, a conduit of power and energy, an incarnation of death and destruction. He would end it. End it all and let men rest, finally, from their suffering. Stop them from having to live over and over again. Why? Why had the Creator done this to them? Why?
Why do we live again?
Luz Theron asked suddenly. His voice was crisp and distinct. Yes, Rand said, pleading. Tell me, why?
Maybe,
Luz Theron said, shockingly lucid, not a hint of madness to him. He spoke softly, reverently.
Why? Could it be? Maybe it's so that we can have a second chance.
Rand froze. The winds blew against him, but he could not be moved by them. The power hesitated inside him, like the headsman's axe held quivering above the criminal's neck.
You may not have a choice about which duties are given you,
Tam's voice, just a memory, said in his mind. But you can choose why you fulfill them.
Why, Rand? Why do you go to battle? What is the point? Why?
All was still. Even with the tempest, the winds, the crashes of thunder, all was still.
Why? Rand thought with wonder. Because each time we live, we get to love again.
That was the answer. It all swept over him. Lives lived, mistakes made, love changing everything. He saw the entire world in his mind's eye, lit by the glow in his hand. He remembered lives, hundreds of them, thousands of them, stretching to infinity. He remembered love and peace and joy and hope. Within that moment, suddenly something amazing occurred to him.
If I live again, then she might as well.
That's why he fought. That's why he lived again, and that was the answer to Tam's question.
I fight because last time I failed. I fight because I want to fix what I did wrong. I want to do it right this time.
The power within him reached a crescendo, and he turned it upon itself, drove it through the access key. The Tirangriol was connected to a much greater force, a massive Saangriol to the south, built to stop the Dark One. Too powerful, some had said. Too powerful ever to use. Too frightening. Rand used its own power upon it, crushing the distant globe, shattering it as if in the grip of a giant's hands. The Cheladan Kaal exploded. The power winked out. The tempest ended. And Rand opened his eyes for the first time in a very long while. He knew, somehow, that he would never again hear Luz Theron's voice in his head, for they were not two men, and never had been. He regarded the world beneath him. The clouds above had finally broken, if only just above him. The gloom dispersed, allowing him to see the sun hanging just above. Rand looked up at it. Then he smiled. Finally, he let out a deep-throated laugh, true and pure. It had been far too long.